Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
High noon in the District of Columbia, and wherever you're listening to this, at least on the East Coast, it's noon. If you're in Guadalajara, it's going to be a different time. I don't know what time that would be, frankly. I assume that's Pacific time zone, so it'd be 9 a.m. And shout out to all of our listeners in Guadalajara. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. B. Mitch is riding a bike. He honestly might be done with the bike ride by now and having a cocktail, if I had to guess. But we'll try to find that out. What we're going to do for her to hear first, Jeff and Lanville, we're just calling B-Mitch at like 150 and seeing what we get. I don't know what we'll get, but we'll all find out together. I have an idea here. I need everybody to bear with me because I'm an idea guy, not always an execution guy. But I want to talk about some of the guys that kind of their names have really been buzzing during camp. And we're going to play classic Cody Betts fashion. We're going to play real or fake. You buy it, or do you think it's hype? Because, let's be real, a lot of times we hear a lot of hype, and it doesn't exactly add up. We'll go around the room. I will start. Actually, I'll go last, because I fear I may lead the witnesses here. Let's start with a guy that the last three sessions, really, he started to get some work with the ones. He's really starting to impress, and it's really starting to, I think, make people wonder how good of a draft class this could be. Third round pick, rookie left tackle, Brandon Coleman, Toby Altizer, real or fake? Hype or hope?
I think it's real. I think he can play. I don't know if it's, you know, high level, but I think he can play. I think he'll start for this team, if not early on in the year. I think he's going to start at some point during the season. I think it could be pretty early on.
Jeffrey?
I'm buying it. I haven't been out to camp, but just looking through the social medias and the different people that have been out there and some of the fans, sound like dude could play. Sounds like he's leaving his mark amongst the coaches and the fans. So I'm going to buy it.
Okay. What about you, Professor Landini?
I am all in.
Yeah, let's go. Positive landfill. I'm also buying this. After he was drafted, I reached out to somebody with the organization with the fairly simple question of, yo, is this dude a tackle? And they're, and I got this, like, incredibly thorough text message back explaining exactly why he is a tackle and that the league missed. Everybody thinks he's a guard just because when you look at him, he kind of looks guard-ish. He's just not that tall, really. But he has really long arms like a tackle needs. It's almost like, if you remember Sheriff, who had tackle size but like shorter arms and they had to move him inside almost right away, it's almost the opposite of that, where this dude kind of has a guard frame but then tackle arms and legs. And I think you can play that left edge. The most important thing are your feet. You're not blocking anybody with your damn arms. Like, you have to plant and present in front of an edge rusher. That's why guys that get so low coming off the edge are so difficult for a lot of these really tall guys. All right, that is four reels for Brandon Coleman. We'll see what happens. Go back around the room here. A guy that's getting some hype, there's some excitement. Maybe these are the guys to fix him. And apparently, the 2023 first-round pick has added 17 pounds to his frame. Emmanuel Forbes, Toby Altizer, buying.
I'm going to go fake on the weight gain. I don't think I see that. Maybe a couple of pounds. I don't think fully 18 or whatever they were saying. But I think it can be real. I think that he's going to be able to contribute this year. I think he's going to be able to help the secondary. I don't think it's maybe going to live up to what you'd expect out of a first rounder. But not going to be a liability like he was at points last year.
Jeffrey.
I'm going to go hopeful. Like you said, this could be the group that fix him. So I'm not going to call it just hype now, but I definitely want to see, you know, how he responds in, like, the joint practices and the preseason games. I want to see how – basically, I want to see how – if he did gain that weight, I want to see how he uses it.
Fair. It doesn't look like he gained the weight, but Landfill, you think the Forbes hype is real or not so real?
I buy that he added weight. I don't know about 17. That seems like kind of a lot. But if people are saying he added weight, he probably did at least add some. I am hopeful that that means that he will improve on his performance from last season, although I'm not necessarily sure that it does.
I think hopeful is the best way to be. And I think I always say that hope ain't a strategy, and it's not. But I think all I know, and I've had this conversation like very off record with other people, the whole league thought he was a first rounder, right? Washington didn't go completely out of nowhere on that. But you've got coaches that have done really well with pieces in the secondary of turning guys. If you can, what he does have, and I've watched enough, he has speed, length, and vision, right? He's not a very physical presence, despite the reports of the 17 pounds. here's my thing with the 17 pounds. If he really did gain 17 pounds, that means he gained like 11% of his body weight. Like,
well, and even if he gained 17 pounds, he's what, 180?
Right, right.
Like, it's not big either way.
But if you can use his speed, vision, length, and let him use his kind of ball skills, maybe you got something. And maybe this is the right staff to do that. I don't know, and I generally would disdain saying hopeful, but I think in this case, last year was a 1 out of 10. Like, last year was kind of a disaster. He got benched for a while. It was a disaster. So if you're asking me if I think he can give them more this year, yes. How much more? I'm unsure. Let's keep it moving here. Let's try another one. Frankie Louvu. Is the hype real or fake, Toby?
Oh, big time real. I think they're going to use this guy all over the place, and I think he's going to be a game wrecker. And You know, earlier I was talking about how Bobby Wagner and the influence that he's had on these guys, and he was talking and saying that he feels like working with Bobby, he can understand what's going on a little bit better, run or pass. And if that's the case and you're giving this guy an extra step and a little bit of a head start on some of these plays, like, he is so athletic, he's such a freak, and I think the hype is real because I think that Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. are going to know how to use him, and they're going to use him in unique ways and find ways to get him one-on-one rushes, and I think he's going to be a big impact player. So I would say big time real.
Jeffrey?
I'm buying all of the hype. All of it. It's about time. We got some tenacious linebackers back there. So I'm not going to lie. With linebacker room, my Ashburn syndrome is pumping.
Jeffrey got the Ashburn syndrome pumping. I think we're all kind of agreeing, which is one of the problems with training camp is that we all get in this echo chamber of like watching the same stuff but not knowing if it will translate. Landini, where you at on Frankie Luvu?
I'm kind of a little skeptical on the linebackers overall. They sucked last year. I know they made a number of improvements, but just I have a really hard time believing that they're going to go from as bad as they were to being like actually one of the better units in the league, like some people have talked about. And part of that reason is that they're relying on veteran guys. I mean, if this was 3 or 4 years ago, I'd feel a lot better about them than I do now.
Yeah, I think that's a fair criticism or skepticism with Wagner, frankly. Even though last year in Seattle he was a monster. But he is 34, whatever it is. I think Luvu, I mean, yes, he's not a rookie. Like, it's not like they just drafted him. But I think with Luvu, because he was an undrafted guy his first couple years in the league, one, he'll be 28 in September. So it's not like he's old. But two, I mean, he only played 8 NFL games until 22. Like, he'd only started, like, 8 games. This is a guy that has worked his way up and emerged. I do hear the kind of, I'm not sure it will be proven true, but I can understand the concern with Wagner specifically. Let's get to the main event. Jaden Daniels. The hype is there. Real, deserved. What do you make of it? Toby.
Yeah, this is a tough one because I think it's real, but I don't know how real, right? I think he looks the part. He looks like he's going to be good, but you're comparing it against, what, Sam Howell last year and some of these things. So I think that he can be a good quarterback for this team, but how good I've yet to be able to see because I want to see how he looks against some of these other teams. So I think in terms of him being a solid starter for this team this year, absolutely real. Is he a guy that's going to take you to the promised land? That's still to be determined.
Can you and I just real quick, Toby, have you checked in on Drake May at all up in New England, the guy you wanted them to take at number two?
I've heard poor reports is what I've heard.
I would say it's a little early to call any race over. All right, Jeffrey, if I had to guess, you are very much buying Jaden Daniels.
And you know this, man. Yo, I think it's going to translate. I think his play is going to translate well in the league. I feel as though he's going to have more grace too here in Washington. We understand he's a rookie. I know people aren't going to jump on his back if he throws a pick, if he fumbles the ball, if he don't get it. They're not going to be on him. They're going to understand this is a rookie quarterback and this is the future, dude. It's things you can see, even just from the little bit of film that I've seen, some of the stuff that I got through text. Dude, he even looks he looks the part, you know? He's comfortable. He seems poised in a position. I'm buying all of it. And I'm willing to eat these words later on if it don't work out, but I highly doubt that.
You got to eat those W's like Jameis Winston. Landfill, Jaden Daniels, what say you?
I mean, I buy it, not necessarily because anything I've seen at camp. I think that Doc Walker said it best, that we know he can play catch. He won the Heisman Trophy. I mostly buy into him because, you know, he won the Heisman Trophy. That's why I buy that he'll be a good quarterback in the league, and he hasn't done anything to make me think any different ever since they drafted him.
I think that's fair. We are starting to see a little bit out here. Like, there's been some real pass rush. Now, they're not hitting him, but it's been there. I'm fascinated to see him against the Jets because that defense was really good. They ranked third in the NFL in yards allowed last year. Fierce pass rush. And you know, I think Jaden is very much real. I think his skills from the pocket as a passer are very, very, very legitimate. Like, you don't want to get too caught up. You don't want to exaggerate. I think his skills from the pocket as a passer are potentially elite. Sincere. The kid can spin it. He is slight, though. Like, the build isn't that big, and we've seen it more than once. Like, we see it about, you know, once a session. They have run concepts, it seems to me, where, like, if you think back to the RG3 days, almost everything was to the perimeter. Almost everything was to the edge. It was Alf up the middle or Robert on the keeper going the outside. That has evolved, and if you think about what Philly does with Jalen Hurts, like, they run, like, traps and draws. Like, they're running up the middle, and some of it is designed so that the middle is open, but this young man's going to take some contact. So that does have me a little alarmed. Like, Jalen Hurts is an elite runner, but he also is a power lifter, you know? And I think last year, Hurts was hampered by injury. And I know he said it wasn't the case, but, like, the numbers dipped so significantly. And not, like, injury, I got to miss this game, but, like, damn, I'm just beat up, and it's getting to me week after week. And I'm really, really curious to see how the design runs go for Jaden. And you're in this kind of catch-22 chicken and egg thing. I think you need the runs. You need the design looks for Jaden. One, because he's freaking great at it. Like, he's an awesome runner. But two, it opens up so much more offensively. But it does give me a little pause until we see some more of it. And we see him, you know, every big hit he took at LSU, he popped up and ran back to the huddle. And you hope that's the plan long term. And I know how good the SEC is. But this ain't LSU.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that concerns me is just we haven't seen him get hit yet. Hopefully we don't see it a whole lot this year. But how does he look when he gets hit? Because it's going to happen, even if it's just in the pocket. But I think to your point, like, Lamar has run up the middle before as well, and he's learned as he's evolved and grown as a passer and as a player, especially last year, how to protect himself. You know, Jaden's going to have to learn that early on, or you just hope that it's not one of those things where he shows all this potential, he gets hit so much in his first year that it kind of derails things.
Right. I don't think that's the track this thing is headed on,
yeah.
Honestly. But, like, you know, when you get to the mixing bowl in Springfield, there's like 100 different roads right there. And most people are either getting on the beltway going one direction or the other. And then you got a whole bunch of people staying straight into the city. Then there's, like, the weird easy pass lanes that you can go to. But then there's also that one, like, random little road that just takes you to that, like, Bob Evans in Springfield. You know what I mean? So you have all these major highways. There's a million directions you can go, and most of them are big roads that get you where you want to go. And I think that's what's happening with Jaden. Like, he looks so good and looks so real, and everything looks so promising. But there is that little road that gets you to Bob Evans in Springfield. You know what I mean? And you just you want to avoid that one.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, to your point, like, I want them to use him in the running game enough that they keep him healthy, but, like, I think he can be a good NFL quarterback as just, like, a field general sitting in the pocket the way that he's looked. But you can go from being a solid quarterback to being one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL if you open up that running game.
Totally.
And so they're going to use him. It's just how can he protect himself, and that's something that you're not going to be able to see out here in training camp.
Nope. Not going to see that till Tampa. Honestly.
Yeah.
Landfill, one last one just for you, buddy. Kay Adams at training camp. Is the hype real or fake?
I mean, I've always thought the hype was real.
I know you've been a fan. Have you been able to watch Good Morning Football in the post-Kay Adams era?
I haven't. I mean, it was off the air for like 3 months. I guess it just came back this week, but no, I have not.
Does it help you that Ron Rivera is going to be doing some reporting for Good Morning Football?
It helps me decide to not watch it. Yeah. It just removed
when we come back, Trisha.
Any little effort that I would want to, any little amount that I had interest in that show, it's just gone now.
Like, the effort involved, so we're clear, I mean, you have to be in the aquarium at your desk or at your station, for lack of a better word, every morning, and you have the remote, and you are able to change it to any channel you want, and that effort just to press the buttons to get it to NFL Network will no longer happen?
That is correct. If there is even a 1% chance that I see Ron Rivera, it won't happen.
Trisha Whitaker from Apple TV joins us next.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
B. Mitch and Finley, 12:30 on a Friday. It is a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. Check out Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, amazingly smooth and loved throughout the DMV. You can get it in Virginia now, so go get some if you're listening to us in Virginia. Moments, we're going to be joined by Trisha Whitaker, who does sideline reporting for Apple TV Friday Night Baseball. Tonight, now obviously you can listen to the Nats game right here on 106.7 The Fan. But if you want to watch it, it's only going to be on Apple TV. You know, the Apple TV games are really cool to watch. And Trisha Whitaker is joining us now. Trisha, how are you? Welcome to D.C.
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. Where's home for you? Florida?
Home is during the baseball season. It is Tampa. Yes, during the off season, it's Indiana. I'm like a reverse snowbird. I go home to the Midwest in the off season, so I'm a weirdo, but that's all right. But you guys, what is this heat today? I live in Florida, and this heat outside today is worse than Florida in the summer. I'm telling you, this is bad.
Dude, that's what I wanted to ask you, because we are actually out in Ashburn, Virginia, the Commanders training camp. So we've been outside all day. Are you at the park yet? Like, do you have to stand out there for all of BP and just bake?
No, I'm not at the park yet. I'll go to the park right after this interview. But no, basically, okay. I sit out there for the entire game. I mean, when you're the dugout reporter, you kind of have to be, like, you know, in the dugout. So that's where I sit.
Yeah.
And I'll be wearing, I think I'm going to wear a tennis dress today. I'm going to look like I have a match. But it's the only thing you can wear on a day like today that's not going to make you melt and want to die.
I don't blame you.
And I want to focus on the game tonight here in just a second, but you covered the Rays for Bally Sports Florida. Were you surprised at how much they sold and all the moves that they made at the trade deadline?
I think initially the Randy Arozarena trade surprised me the most. I didn't see that coming. I thought maybe they would wait till the offseason to do that, so that one surprised me. The Zach Eflin trade didn't surprise me. The Isak Paredes trade, that surprised me a little bit. But I think it's clear that they were, you know, the Rays are still, like, you know, technically in postseason contention trying to get the wild card. But clearly they were sellers at the deadline. And everything that they did this year is trying to set them up for next year. They've got a lot of guys coming back in that starting rotation. And next year that starting rotation is going to be ridiculous. So I think they're building for 2025 at this point. It's not like it's a total rebuild, you know, like we're seeing kind of from the Nationals in the last few years. But, like, it's kind of retooling things for 2025.
We're talking with Tricia Whitaker here on the BetQL guest line. All of our baseball coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Check out the savings calculator at T-Mobile.com/switch. Tricia, you mentioned kind of the Nats rebuild. Were you surprised they didn't move Kyle Finnegan at the deadline?
Maybe a little bit. But I think, you know, when you look at the Nats, I think since 2021, they have done a really good job of trading, you know, expiring contracts for a slew of promising prospects. So maybe I was a little bit surprised. Also, the last time I was here was his bobblehead night, and I really enjoyed his bobblehead. It was Star Wars night, I think. But anyways, I was maybe a little bit surprised. But, you know, I think it's clear kind of what they're doing at this point. And, you know, like Mike Rizzo said the other day, you know, they're looking for a deeper minor league system, and they're pretty happy with their return. So that farm system is super well-positioned. And I think that's their focus right now. So, yeah, a little bit surprised, but I loved what Mike Rizzo said the other day. Said, I think you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Said, I think the fan base can and knows what we're doing, and you can see the progress and the process working. So it sounds so cliche, but I think the Nationals are kind of in that trust the process realm right now.
Well, and you talk about the light at the end of the tunnel from a perspective of someone that looks at the league as a whole. We're kind of dialed in here every single day with the Nats. But I'm curious, from your perspective, what do you think a timeline is for the Nats of maybe being a playoff team again? Is it next year? Is it 2026? Like, what's the timeline for these guys?
You know, I can't say I'm around the Nationals that often. However, just from the outside looking in and the few times I have been around them and researching leading up until this game, I think the timeline is honestly probably pretty quicker than what fans might want to admit. You know, it's certainly possible that next year they could be a playoff contender, and certainly the year after that. That's what they've been doing since they won the World Series in 2019. I know they haven't had a winning season since then, but they have been doing that, building up to, you know, being a playoff contender again. And I think that could happen as soon as next year, 2026, certainly. But I think sometimes we forget how quickly teams can turn things around. You saw the Rangers do it. I mean, my goodness. They were terrible the year before, and then they and then they won the World Series. I mean, it's crazy. So, no, I think that a turnaround for next season is certainly doable, and it would not surprise me.
Talking with Trisha Whitaker here on the BetQL guest line. Trisha, you can watch her tonight. The Nats Brewers game can only be seen on Apple TV. You can follow Trisha at Trisha Whitaker, WHITAKER, on both Twitter and Instagram. Dude, I want to ask, so doing this Apple TV gig, I mean, you're probably getting some of the best games every Friday night. You're probably all over the country. I've been to a lot of ballparks, and I have some that are my favorites and some that I think kind of stink. What are your favorite ballparks to go to?
You know, that's a great question. I get asked that all the time. So I think I always separate, I'm kind of weird, I separate ballparks into like the historical ballparks and the new age ballparks, because I don't think it's fair to compare a ballpark like Wrigley to like the new Padres park or whatever. To compare, you know, Fenway to, you know, a state-of-the-art park that was like the Braves. Yeah, I'm not going to compare those. That's apples and oranges. So I think for the historical ballpark category, I grew up a Cubs fan, so like Wrigley, obviously, I love. But that aside, Fenway is probably one of my favorite parks to go to. I know it's old, but I love it. You walk in there and you just feel like all the baseball history is surrounding you and the Green Monster. I really, really like Fenway. In terms of some of the newer ballparks, the more like snazzy ballparks, the Padres ballpark I think is awesome. The area surrounding that in San Diego is amazing, and the park itself is just state of the art. It's incredible. That would be my answer for those two. I do like the Nationals park though. I really do. I think it's beautiful, and DC is honestly one of my favorite cities to visit on the major league schedule. That would probably be my answer.
Well, and Trisha, I don't want to bury this, but JP was probably going to ask you. And I think he wants to know. He's a Maryland guy. What do you think of Camden Yards?
Oh, I see that. You know what? I just did it. I always think that one flies under the radar, and I just put it right under the radar. Camden Yards is actually, I love Camden Yards, and I'm not just saying that because, you know, you're a Maryland guy, but I really do. Utah Street is one of the coolest places, I think. And I think Camden Yards does a good job of kind of being a ballpark that still feels like historic, but also like doesn't feel like it's like rotting into the ground. You know what I mean? And I think the fans there are, I mean, this year, I started covering the Rays in 2019. And that was when the Orioles were terrible. I remember the 2021, I think it was. The Rays went like something like, I don't even remember, 19-1 against them. I mean, they won 19 games. That was bizarre. And now the Orioles are just, I mean, wow. Like, it goes back to what you asked about the Nationals. Can you see them being a postseason contender next year? Well, yeah, look at what the Orioles did. Like, good Lord. Right. Like, they made a massive turnaround from 2021 to 2022 and 2023 and now 2024. I mean, it's insane. So, no, I love Camden Yards. I love those fans there. And you could tell they were just hungry for that team to have success. Dying. And it's been really cool to watch.
In 21, the O's went 52-110.
Oof.
And there was actually there's a statistic that kind of caused some controversy, but the O's lost something like 15 straight series to the Rays before they, if you remember the Kevin Brown thing with that.
So,
Trisha, I want to circle back to one thing. You said D.C. is one of your favorite cities to visit. So, I mean, the baseball life is such a grind. So what is your, like, you get to town, is there a restaurant you like? Is there an area of town you like to walk around? Like, what do you like to do when you're in D.C.?
I love walking around, seeing all of, like, the, you know, historic sites. My dad, like, is a history buff, and growing up, all I did was listen to him talk about, like, politics and government and history and stuff like that. So I love walking around, going to the, last time I was here with the Rays, I went to the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument. I love walking by the Capitol. I know that sounds so cliche and all that stuff, like touristy, but like, I love to do it. And obviously, if you're here at the right time of year to see the cherry blossoms, I just walked over to, I know this is not like local necessarily to DC, I think it's in New York too or whatever, but I just walked over to Gregory's Coffee, and I love Gregory's Coffee, it's delicious. And then there's what's that spot near the park? It's like the Green Turtle or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. The Green Turtle Sports Bar.
There's a Green Turtle. There. Yeah. That's a good spot. Walter's across the street is good. It might be too hot, but Saltline is awesome if you're looking for a cocktail, maybe after the game. It's right on the river.
Okay.
One thing that's cool, as somebody who's lived here forever and watched that area grow where they built the ballpark, is there used to just be nothing over there. And now it's arguably like the cool part of D.C., which has been fun, and certainly then that success has been a big part of it. Trisha, I want to let you go. I know you got a busy day. I know you got to get to the ballpark, and good luck staying cool. Thank you very much for joining us. This was fun.
Thanks, guys. It was fun. See ya.
All right. Trisha Whitaker, Apple TV. You can give her a follow at Trisha Whitaker. Phone lines, 1 o'clock. Buckle up. Boop, 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 boop. Toby, you ever dance to this song at a club?
I'll give you one guess.
When's the last time you went to a club, Toby?
Next time would be the first time.
Lanville, on a scale of 1 to 10, how different are Toby and Jeff?
10.
Like 50? Yeah, whatever the max score is. Jeff, when's the last time you went to a club? 6 a.m. this morning?
No, but I'm going to one tomorrow.
Well, aren't you DJing tomorrow? Don't you DJ every Saturday?
Yes.
What is it, 202? Shout out to 202.
Yep, 202 Lounge.
Where is that? Like 7th and H?
It's on 8th Street right before Chinatown. Actually...
Oh, it's in Northwest?
Yeah, it's in Northwest.
I thought it was in Northeast.
There is an 8th Street in Northeast, but it's on the Northwest side by Cap 1.
Okay, sweet. Let's pretend. Let's live in a fantasy world where I was going to come. What time do I have to get there?
I would say... I mean, you can get there when it starts. Like, it'd be people in the club all night.
Yeah.
So it all depends on your...
I want to be there when it's properly turnt, I feel like is the term I'm looking for.
Oh, well, if that's the case, you could come from 10 to 2, but...
Just like the radio show, 10 to 2.
Yes, sir.
Or
but
is that PM to AM?
The most lit around 1 AM.
All right, the odds of me coming are very, very slim, but you never know. We just got a text from B. Mitch. Brian just sent us a picture. He is 90 miles done. So he's got to be close because the whole thing, I think, was like 108 miles or something.
109.
109. All right. Do we hear from B while we're still on the air? That gives him about an hour. About an hour to finish 19 miles. It's hot as hell, and he's been riding that bike now for 6 hours, right?
I say, yeah, they get it done in an hour. We'll hear from him before we get off.
I think we will, too. I have faith in Mr. Mitchell. Dude, so the Olympic golf is going on, and in the world of, like, the LIV and the PGA and nobody really plays with each other anymore, all of a sudden Olympic golf is pretty juicy. They are done for the day, right, Toby? What's that leaderboard? I know you had it up earlier.
Yeah, Xander Schauffele is at 11 under. Matsuyama ran into a little bit of trouble on 18. He's now at 11 under par. And Fleetwood also bogeyed 18, and I think he's tied at 11 under par. So got three tied atop the leaderboard, big names as well.
What's crazy is, so I said, B and I kind of disagreed on this, right? I think Xander, now that he's won two majors this year, should be player of the year. And B still thinks it should be Scotty because he's had just so much success. Most of that success, he won the Masters, obviously, but then he won a bunch. I mean, I think he won six tournaments on the PGA Tour, which is just unbelievable, right? Like, it's so impressive. But I think if Xander gets the gold, that really locks it in.
Yeah, it feels like that, right? I mean, Xander's been fantastic, and he's been so close for so long, and then he finally breaks through, and it just feels like now you can see the floodgates open because that pressure's been taken off of him. It's so tough, though, because Scheffler, we're talking about one of the most dominant stretches in a long time, and then Schauffele's the one with two majors. So I don't think there's a wrong answer, but, I mean, it's also hard when you've got a guy that won two majors. How could he not be the player of the year?
Right. All right, I'm going to run you through the leaderboard, and then we're all going to pick a winner. Fleetwood and Schauffele are tied at first at 11 under. Is this right? Because this has Hideki at 11 under also.
He is. Yeah.
All right, so the three of them are all tied for first.
Yeah.
So you got a Brit, an American, and a Japanese dude. After that, John Rahm, I got to say, ESPN, your website is driving me crazy. Stop with these pop-ups. Good God. John Rahm tied for fourth at 9 under. Thomas Dietrich, who I don't have a... Is it Dietrich?
Dietrich.
Dietrich is a German dude or a Belgian dude?
I think Belgium.
I think he's Belgian. He's at 8-under. CT Pan is 8-under. Tom Kim is 8-under. I don't know. What is that flag next to CT Pan?
Not sure.
This appears to be like a political situation where they gave him like an Olympic flag.
It's probably Taiwan.
Taiwan, maybe? Okay. There you go. Good intel, landfill. So Dietrich, Pan, Kim, Jaeger is German. Guido Migliozzi is 7-under. That sounds like my wife's maiden name, honestly. And then Scheffler's tied for 10th with Joaquin Niemann. Eric Van Ruyen, who's a talented South African fella. Matt Fitzpatrick's a major winner. He's there at 5-under. Jason Day is 5-under. Rory McIlroy, 5-under. Morikawa, 4-under. The list goes on and on, right? Toby, you start. Who wins the gold?
I feel like I got to go with an American. Maybe Scotty makes a runs at it, but I kind of feel like Xander. Like, you look at the guys at the top of the leaderboard. Fleetwood went 67-64, so a really good day today. Matsuyama went 63-68, so a really good day yesterday. Xander's just 65-66. Like, he might just go out there and shoot 66s the rest of the round and win the rest of the tournament, win this thing. I'm going to go with Xander. Why not?
I mean, it's hard to argue with. Jeff, who's your Olympic golf gold medalist pick?
From what we was just watching, I'm going to have to go with Xander Schauffele, too. I thought Matsuyama was going to get it, but then he just had this one hole, and he hasn't, like, been able to take the lead yet.
Yeah, he had a double on 18, I think. Not exactly finishing strong. Professor Landini, known for telling it like it is, who you got winning the Olympic gold?
I'm also going to go with Xander because he was consistent on both days, so I think he probably will be. Where Fleetwood and Matsuyama have been a little up and down, so I'm going to go with Xander.
I've got it. But you've been a Tom Kim guy. I thought you might take Kim.
No, I'm taking Xander.
All right. I will be the only one to do something different here then. I think he hates his decision to go to LIV, even though they gave him all – what, $700 million? I think that makes the decision a lot easier. But he just seems unhappy. You always see these videos of him screaming at LIV fans because he wants it quiet, and they're just hooting and hollering. Rom just won whatever LIV tournament was in England. He's just too off the lead. I think Rom needs something. I think, like, the competitor in him, the major champion winner in him, I think he needs to, like, remind the world and maybe kind of remind himself that he is one of the best golfers on the planet. I'm taking John Rahm. And, you know, Spain just won the Euros. It's kind of – Spain's got something cooking. I'm taking John Rahm. When we come back, folks, we can talk training camp. We can talk steak recipes. We can talk parallel parking. Phone lines are wide open. It's usually Ask B. Mitch Anything. He's riding his bike to the beach because he's a psycho. So you get to ask me any questions you want. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. We've been watching training camp now for 9 days. Anything you want to know, we'll give you the best answer. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch Finley. Boop, 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 boop. Toby, you ever dance to this song at a club?
I'll give you one guess.
When's the last time you went to a club, Toby?
Next time would be the first time.
Landville, on a scale of 1 to 10, how different are Toby and Jeff?
10.
Like 50? Yeah, whatever the max score is. Jeff, when's the last time you went to a club? 6 a.m. this morning?
No, but I'm going to one tomorrow.
Well, aren't you DJing tomorrow? Don't you DJ every Saturday?
Yes.
What is it, 202? Shout out to 202.
Yep, 202 Lounge.
Where is that? Like 7th and H?
It's on 8th Street right before Chinatown. Actually...
Oh, it's in Northwest?
Yeah, it's in Northwest.
I thought it was in Northeast.
There is an 8th Street in Northeast, but it's on the Northwest side by Cap 1.
Okay, sweet. Let's pretend. Let's live in a fantasy world where I was going to come. What time do I have to get there?
I would say... I mean, you can get there when it start. Like, it'd be people in the club all night.
Yeah.
So it all depends like, on your...
I want to be there when it's properly turnt, I feel like is the term I'm looking for.
Oh, well, if that's the case, you could come from 10 to 2, but...
Just like the radio show, 10 to 2.
Yes, sir.
Or
but
is that p.m. to a.m.?
The most lit around 1 a.m.
All right. The odds of me coming are very, very slim, but you never know. We just got a text from B. Mitch. Brian just sent us a picture. He is 90 miles done. So he's got to be close because the whole thing, I think, was like 108 miles or something.
109.
109. All right. Do we hear from B while we're still on the air? That gives him about an hour. About an hour to finish 19 miles. It's hot as hell. And he's been riding that bike now for 6 hours, right?
I say, yeah, they get it done in an hour. We'll hear from him before we get off.
I think we will, too. I have faith in Mr. Mitchell. Dude, so the Olympic golf is going on. And in the world of, like, the LIV and the PGA and nobody really plays with each other anymore, all of a sudden Olympic golf is pretty juicy. They are done for the day, right, Toby? What's that leaderboard? I know you had it up earlier.
Yeah, Xander Schauffele is at 11 under. Matsuyama ran into a little bit of trouble on 18. He's now at 11 under par. And Fleetwood also bogeyed 18, and I think he's tied at 11 under par. So got three tied atop the leaderboard, big names as well.
What's crazy is, so I said, B and I kind of disagreed on this, right? I think Xander, now that he's won two majors this year, should be player of the year. And B still thinks it should be Scotty because he's had just so much success. Most of that success, he won the Masters, obviously, but then he won a bunch. I mean, I think he won six tournaments on the PGA Tour, which is just unbelievable, right? Like, it's so impressive. But I think if Xander gets the gold, that really locks it in.
Yeah, it feels like that, right? I mean, Xander's been fantastic, and he's been so close for so long, and then he finally breaks through, and it just feels like now you can see the floodgates open because that pressure's been taken off of him. It's so tough, though, because Scheffler, we're talking about one of the most dominant stretches in a long time, and then Schauffele's the one with two majors. So I don't think there's a wrong answer, but, I mean, it's also hard when you've got a guy that won two majors. How could he not be the player of the year?
Right. All right, I'm going to run you through the leaderboard, and then we're all going to pick a winner. Fleetwood and Schauffele are tied at first at 11 under. Is this right? Because this has Hideki at 11 under also.
He is.
Yeah. All right, so the three of them are all tied for first.
Yeah.
So you got a Brit, an American, and a Japanese dude. After that, John Rahm, I got to say, ESPN, your website is driving me crazy. Stop with these pop-ups. Good God. John Rahm tied for fourth at 9 under. Thomas Dietrich, who I don't have a – is it Dietrich?
Dietrich.
Dietrich is a German dude or a Belgian dude?
I think Belgium.
I think he's Belgian. He's at 8 under. CT Pan is 8 under. Tom Kim is 8 under. I don't know. What is that flag next to CT Pan?
Not sure.
This appears to be like a political situation where they gave him like an Olympic flag.
It's probably Taiwan.
Taiwan, maybe? Okay. There you go. Good intel landfill. So Dietrich, Pan, Kim, Jaeger is German. Guido Migliozzi is 7 under. That sounds like my wife's maiden name, honestly. And then Scheffler's tied for 10th with Joaquin Niemann, Eric Van Rooyen, who's a talented South African fella. Matt Fitzpatrick's a major winner. He's there at 5 under. Jason Day is 5 under. Rory McIlroy, 5 under. Morikawa, 4 under. The list goes on and on, right? Toby, you start. Who wins the gold?
I feel like I got to go with an American. Maybe Scotty makes a runs at it, but I kind of feel like Xander. Like, you look at the guys at the top of the leaderboard. Fleetwood went 67-64, so a really good day today. Matsuyama went 63-68, so a really good day yesterday. Xander's just 65-66. Like, he might just go out there and shoot 66s the rest of the round and win the rest of the tournament, win this thing. I'm going to go with Xander. Why not?
I mean, it's hard to argue with. Jeff, who's your Olympic golf gold medalist pick?
From what we was just watching, I'm going to have to go with Xander Schauffele, too. I thought Matsuyama was going to get it, but then he just had this one hole, and he hasn't, like, been able to take the lead yet.
Yeah, he had a double on 18, I think. Not exactly finishing strong. Professor Landini, known for telling it like it is, who you got winning the Olympic gold?
I'm also going to go with Xander because he was consistent on both days, so I think he probably will be. Where Fleetwood and Matsuyama have been a little up and down. So I'm going to go with Xander.
I've got it. But you've been a Tom Kim guy. I thought you might take Kim.
No, I'm taking Xander.
All right. I will be the only one to do something different here then. I think John Rahm, I think he hates his decision to go to LIV, even though they gave him, $700 million? I think that makes the decision a lot easier. But he just seems unhappy. You always see these videos of him screaming at LIV fans because he wants it quiet, and they're just hooting and hollering. Rahm just won whatever LIV tournament was in England. He's just too off the lead. I think Rahm needs something. I think, like, the competitor in him, the major champion winner in him, I think he needs to, like, remind the world and maybe kind of remind himself that he is one of the best golfers on the planet. I'm taking John Rahm. And, you know, Spain just won the Euros. It's kind of – Spain's got something cooking. I'm taking John Rahm. When we come back, folks, we can talk training camp. We can talk steak recipes. We can talk parallel parking. Phone lines are wide open. It's usually Ask B. Mitch Anything. He's riding his bike to the beach because he's a psycho. So you get to ask me any questions you want. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. We've been watching training camp now for 9 days. Anything you want to know, we'll give you the best answer. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch Finley.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.